Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is presented by Kroger. More ways to save, fresh food, low prices at Kroger.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Everyone, welcome into a very special edition of Dog Nation Daily, presented today by Kroger. We are live at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, where last night we had another amazing edition of Dog Nation Days of Summer. So many Georgia fans on hand, so much fun talking to them about the upcoming season, some of those secrets still yet to be put in place for Georgia's 2020 recruiting class. Scott Warner, the great former Georgia Bulldog, was with us too. Some of the stories that he told, they still have me laughing, and some of the folks who are here, they'll be laughing about those for a long time to come. Jeff, for me, it was really a night not to be forgotten, and it's continued to hear this morning. You can look behind me at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa and see that the mountains are beautiful. The weather is really picture perfect. It's an incredible time to be here. I feel incredibly lucky to have this, what for me is kind of a final summer getaway before the start of practice officially begins today and the season begins shortly after that. This is just a really cool thing to be a part of. And by the way, it's nice to have Jeff Sintel with us for the full hour today on Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger too. Jeff, I hope last night for you was as much fun as it was for me.
Oh, man, it was great. I'm sitting here chuckling during your opening monologue because I'm remembering all those Scott Warner stories. He learned how to pickle vegetables in Cortona, Italy. He asked the server. He found the recipe. He came back to Northeast Georgia and did it on his own. There was, like, mushrooms in there. There was cauliflower. There were carrots. It looked like green peppers in there. He called them Werner's Winners. And then Werner's Winners was basically everything that came out of that man's mouth during our – during our discovery sessions, our Q&As. He was talking about, celebratory games when Irk Russell's coming down the bus, passing two along, opening up cases. And, I mean, those were just fun Georgia stories. And we also got, for anybody that was here, we got the definitive version of Scott Warner's intel on the pig story.
Yeah, listen, it was a great time. And anytime Dog Nation's going to be close to you like we were last night here at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, it's something you're going to want to be a part of. Today, though, there is some business at hand when it comes to the football stuff. Now, we're going to get into recruiting with you a little bit later on like we always do when you're with us on Dog Nation Daily on Fridays. But I want to start with what's going to happen in Athens today. It is the start of practice. And after that, we're on kind of a downhill slope towards the August 31st season opener against Vanderbilt. I know for me, I have some things on my mind about what I want to see, what I want to hear from Kirby Smart, what I want the narrative to start to emerge to be as Georgia begins its season. How about for you, though? What's on your mind here on this day that, at least in kind of an unofficial capacity, the 2019 season begins?
Yeah, so folks, here's the way I look at things, and there are going to be stories that pop out immediately when Kirby starts speaking. There'll be the usual, you know, what's Zamir White's status, maybe something on Dwan Mathis. To me, it's pretty simple. Georgia had about four defensive linemen that did not participate in spring drills. I think Rochester had a knee. Other guys had surgery. And those guys just, you know, hit the pause button during the spring. Those guys got to be ready to go. And everybody's going to concentrate rightfully on the wide receiver spot. I think that's a valid preseason storyline because I don't know who the top four is. I don't think Georgia knows who the top four is. And I think folks are going to want to hear something come out of Kirby Smart's mouth after practice 8, practice 10, where he starts to feel very encouraged about his wide receiver group. Maybe a top four, top five emerging because, you know, Georgia's going to bring about 8 receivers. 2 or 3 of those guys are going to play on special teams. But to me, it's the health of the defensive line. Those guys, those big guys, those are all seniors too, Brandon, by the way. Those 22-year-old Bulldogs, 21-year-old Bulldogs, those guys coming back and looking healthy and looking sharp. And then also figuring out what they're going to do there at the wide receiver position.
So let's do both those topics here for a moment. Now, I will say, just practically speaking, and here where we're doing the show from, just kind of outside Brassy Sports Bar with the golf course behind us at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, we were talking about opportunities to watch practice a moment ago. And I will admit, from a practical standpoint, I think it's easier for a media member to notice something offensively during a practice than it is to notice something defensively. You mentioned the defensive line. Georgia makes changes to its starting lineup with its defensive line all the time throughout the season. A lot of times that stuff doesn't even really get reported because the interior of the defensive line is kind of hard to chronicle just for the average fan from time to time. So I think from a practice standpoint, just what I'll see with my own eyes, what other media members will see with their own eyes, sometimes the offensive stuff, I believe, can be a little easier to notice. And you mentioned that you don't think that Georgia knows yet who its top four receivers are going to be. And I actually think that's a really good thing, because I think from the fan standpoint, that opens the door for the possibility that it's a newcomer that breaks into that, whether it be Dominic Blaylock, who Kirby raved about during the spring, whether it be George Pickens, who even last night some people were joking with me about the fact that I kind of willed that into existence in terms of his pledge to Georgia and ultimately signing on the dotted line. Lawrence Cager, who I know that J.R. Reed raved about during SEC media days. I think the best case scenario for Georgia, the highest possible ceiling for this offense, for the wide receiver core this season, I think that has to include one of the three names I just mentioned. Guys we didn't see during the spring, guys that Kirby Smart and, you know, this offensive coaching staff, Cortez Hankton, the receivers coach, haven't had a chance to evaluate in a real practice, in a real 11-on-11 situation. I think it's actually a good thing that Georgia doesn't know who its top four are yet, because that opens the door that one of these newcomers could be that, potentially giving Georgia kind of an offensive weapon at that position maybe it hasn't had thus far in the Kirby Smart era.
Yeah, and I talk about this a lot. I think Tyler Simmons is one of those four. I would be surprised if he's not one of those four. He's a senior. He's made some big plays. He definitely didn't jump off sides to throw that one in there. And I think there's some question marks that I think Georgia fans hope become exclamation points. And I'm going to group a lot of guys together. Is it Tommy Bush's turn? Is it Matt Lander's turn? Is it Demetrius Robertson's turn? What will Trey Blunt do as a junior who's played a lot of football for Georgia already?
Let me stop you right there for a moment. I think Blunt's an interesting name to think about, because if you want to go back and look at J.J. Holloman from a year ago, there really wasn't all that much about 2017 that would have predicted the kind of year that Holloman had last season, which means that there is someone that could also possibly have that be true for him in 2019. I'm not saying that Trey Blunt should be your first pick on that, but when you look at surprise candidates, he definitely fits the bill of being that, because listen, I do this stuff every day. We don't hardly ever talk about Blunt, which certainly gives him the cachet of being able to say, I'm the guy that's flying under the radar here right now. A former four-star signee, by the way.
Yeah, Blunt was a guy that was around the nation's number 30 wide receiver. Remember his first year, that magical 2017, he played in every game. Trey Blunt was on the field when Sony ran the Bulldogs out of Pasadena and back to the national championship game. And he's played a lot of good football. He's athletic. He's big. You got to look at him and think, okay, is this the time he becomes more of a blocker and more of a playmaker for Georgia? It's his time as well. I remember him going head-to-head with Tyreek Stevenson in G-Day, and those were some good battles. Says a lot about Tyreek Stevenson as well. But this is the year that the lights got to come all the way on for Demetrius Robertson. And I think we just rolled off a lot of names. Brandon has a good way of looking at things. I tell him about all the players that are coming in and they're going to be importing and stacking up the talent like Cordwood at a position. Brandon's like, okay, out of those four, I need two to pop. And the odds of two of those guys becoming bona fide SEC players is going to help Georgia in the long run.
So here's the way, with that in mind, here's the way I've kind of operated in this wide receiver thought process moving through the summer. To me, I think it's Lawrence Cager and George Pickens potentially competing to do something very similar. Now, it'd be great if both of them really pop, to use the word that you just used, but it's a Cager or a Pickens potentially on the outside. I think that Demetrius Robertson and Dominic Blaylock are also potentially going to do some of the same things. Kyaris Jackson in that a bit too, although I will admit that I believe that Demetrius Robertson ended the spring probably a little higher in the pecking order than maybe Kyaris Jackson might be right now. But you'll put Kyaris in there with Blaylock and Robertson. It's that group right there. So if you're looking to sort of start siphoning these guys off into categories, I think you've got your Pickens Cager category in one spot. I think you've got your Kyaris, Demetrius Robertson, and Dominic Blaylock category somewhere else, where you start looking for names from those various groups.
And then you got to probably lump in maybe the next tier to check on is what's up with Tommy Bush, what's up with Matt Landers, or is Trey Bush the guy that comes in there?
Because
you see sparks and flashes with all those guys. And like I said, we just rolled off like eight or nine names, and Georgia needs three or four of those to become bona fide.
All right, let me take a moment to tell you who we are, where we are, and what we're doing. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented today by Kroger, and we are live at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, and it could not be more picture perfect. The weather is beautiful. The mountains behind us have never looked better. There's a little fog this morning when I woke up, but the first thing I did when I got out of my bed in my hotel room is go look out the window and see how nice it all looked. And you look out the window, you see a little fog, and then I have some breakfast, come out here, and this fog is completely broken. It is a crystal clear, blue sky day today. It looks fantastic. We had Dog Nation Days of Summer here last night. And for those of you that could not be here, we missed you. We had a great time without you, though. It's been a great time, and it's good to be able to do Dog Nation Daily with you live here from Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, presented by Kroger. And it's great to have Jeff Sintel as a part of it as well.
So did the bacon, egg, and cheese go down today? Did you have the bacon, egg, and cheese?
I did. If you must know, I enjoyed the Brasstown buffet before I came down to do the show. Had a little bacon, egg, and cheese per usual. I don't break my routine, even when I'm on the road. I try not to anyway. By the way, speaking of that, we are, as I said, brought today by Kroger. Kroger's got a great deal right now. I want you to take advantage of. You can get wild snow crab clusters. Easy for me to say. Wild snow crab clusters right now on sale with card for $6.99. That's an incredible deal. And much the same way we're kind of closing out the summer in style here with Dog Nation Days of Summer, you can have your own version of that at your house with a nice little seafood cookout here to close up the summer with those wild snow crab clusters on sale with card for $6.99. Check that out at the Kroger near you. That's limited time only, by the way. You only got a few more days left to take advantage of that offer, so go ahead and pick that up, and let's get ready to enjoy that. Now, with that said, let's go around the doghouse. It's brought to you today by our friends at Meriwether and Tharp. And, Jeff, you mentioned a moment ago two position groups. We just did a good bit on one of those position groups. Now, let me mention another one that you talked about, because we did see an injury situation hamper our ability to evaluate the defensive line during the spring. And that really brings to mind one name for me. We know the givens on the Georgia defensive line right now. I believe for what he does, Jordan Davis is among the most effective players in the SEC. That's a dominant nose tackle, a space eater. He occupies multiple blockers. Kirby Smart has called Tyler Clark a difference-making defensive lineman because of a little bit different skill set that he brings to the table. And then you start getting excited about, from a pass rush standpoint, if you want to count outside linebackers as defensive ends for a moment, what they might be able to do. But there's another name that we did not mention during the spring because he didn't play during the spring, didn't practice during the spring, and therefore we haven't talked about him enough during the summer. One of the real X-factor wild cards for me on this Georgia roster right now is Julian Rochester. You can go back to that class of 2016 and tell the story of his recruiting profile as well as anybody could. This is a big-time prospect that Kirby once brought in, a major recruiting win for Kirby in his first year to be able to hold on to Rochester and bring him into Athens, and now in his final year. If the light were to go off for him, whether it be in a role a little bit similar to what Jordan Davis does, or maybe alongside of Jordan Davis, depending on how they want to use Rochester this year, that would be a big-time thing for him to come back to full health and finish his Georgia career on a really strong note. How much would that benefit Georgia to have just a fired-up and ready-to-go Julian Rochester?
Well, Julian Rochester is very interesting. His story dates back to the Mark Richt era with recruiting. I think Georgia was highly invested in Bailey Hockman as the quarterback of the future at McEachern because Julian Rochester was his teammate. Georgia wanted to secure that man in the middle. And they wanted Julian Rochester to do a lot of things that Jordan Davis did right off the jump last year. And I guess it's fair to say that there's a lot of meat left on the bone of his Georgia career. You probably say that too, right? Mm-hmm. So with Rochester, I think here's what – and so many guys, Carter, Clark, those were guys from MIA during spring drills. And names like Michael Barnett and names like, you know, and Justin Young, they were like, okay, are those guys a factor because they're old and they're ready and they're fifth-year seniors, or are those guys a factor because Carter, Rochester, and Clark weren't operating during the spring drills? Now, any sort of combination of that is really good for Georgia. But I want to see, you know, Rochester, let's kind of set the bar. 25 snaps a game, somebody to give Jordan Davis a blow, maybe play at maybe 80% of what John Atkins did for that 2017 team. I think that's how Julian Rochester will help Georgia in the 2019 season.
Because I said this in an edition of Dog Nation Daily coming on the heels of SEC Media Days, where there's so much said about Georgia. One of the storylines for Georgia that I don't think gets enough attention is this was not a great team last year stopping the run. Outside the top 30, if you want to use the old school stats of just simply rushing yards allowed. Outside the top 50, if you want to make it more about the analytics stuff, the kind of number crunching that Bill Connelly does with his S&P and things like that. However you want to measure it, Georgia was not great last year stopping the run. They weren't really even good. They were just slightly above average. Yeah. National championship teams have to be surer against the run than Georgia was last season.
And see, when I look at those stats and those metrics, I wish somebody would rate them over the last 6-7 games of the year, because that's when Georgia became Georgia in my mind. Jordan Davis was a full-time starter. They started figuring out what they had there in the middle. And I'd probably say, Brandon, when day one camp happens – and they roll out the ones for those first few drills, I think Davis is going to be a known. I think Tyler Clark's going to be a known. And I think maybe it's Aziz Ojulari on that other side, or maybe it's a guy like a Malik Herring, a guy on that side that I think are going to be the guys that are going to eventually rise to the top. You know, who's going to be that big defensive end like Jonathan Ledbetter was? I think Brendan Cox will get a long look at that position. Yeah. I think big, you know, Greek God looking like Jermaine Johnson. I know some Georgia fans watched that entire Last Chance U series just to get a glimpse of Jermaine Johnson on Netflix, and they binged it in the course of a day. But when you look at Jermaine, is he that guy on the edge? Because the other edge, that's going to be Aziz, that's going to be Nolan, that's going to be Robert Beal. Throw him in that mix as well for that defensive end spot. Those guys are the knowns. Now Georgia's got to figure out the guys beneath them.
Let me get you to push pause on that for a moment. I'll pause for our radio audience, those checking in on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We've got more Dog Nation Daily for you coming up right after this. And indeed, as promised, we are back here on the radio and all of our video and podcast platforms and everything else doing Dog Nation Daily Live today from Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. You just heard us doing Around the Doghouse presented by our friends at Merriweather and Tharp. Here's the one thing that you know for, you know, people who, you know, find themselves in a situation where the marriage may not feel as happy as it once did. That can be a very confusing and, frankly, disappointing, devastating situation. And you may have some concern, some fear even. The one thing that you don't want to do, though, is go through anything like that on your own. You want to have an advocate by your side. And the one thing that you know about my friends at Merriweather and Tharp, they have proven their advocacy over the years because of the thousands of these kinds of cases they've handled and the free resources they've made available, whether it be podcasts or blog posts or anything like that, for people to start to acquaint themselves with what that particular situation might look like for them. So if you find yourself in a situation where divorce might be a reality, certainly our thoughts and prayers go out to you. But my advice is to check out my friends at Merriweather and Tharp. You can find them online at theatlantadivorceteam.com. That's theatlantadivorceteam.com. All right, Jeff Sintel here as a part of Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger today. We will get back more to spring, to the start of summer practice here in just a moment and the start of the 2019 season. But let me also take a moment, if you don't mind, to talk a little bit about our typical topic when you come on the show, and that's recruiting. Obviously, last night, there continues to be, based on the Georgia fans that we talked to here at Brasstown, there continues to be a lot of excitement about Kendall Milton, five-star running back, in the fold, but there is also a lot of energy as well about what's going to happen next, where Georgia goes from here. And so, would you mind spinning it forward now that Milton's in the mix? We've got you know, dead period starting because Georgia's starting practice. We've got high school teams starting practice. They're going to begin their seasons really in a couple of weeks, so time is going to be of the essence for some players. Who are the players in particular that are kind of on deck right now?
Let me see if I can go at it in are you kidding me right off the top here fashion with Brandon. We dropped on the forum a minute ago. Somebody asked me about Elias Ricks, and I was like, I pretty much expect Elias Ricks, the five-star cornerback out of California, who's now at IMG, who's committed to LSU. That would be the nation's number two cornerback right now behind some young man named Keely Ringo. We've mentioned him a couple of times, but I think he'll take an official visit to Georgia.
Is that right?
Let's see where things go from that, because him and Milton, they've been like this since about middle school. That's very interesting. But let's be real. I think the month of August is, can Georgia get one or two anchor commitments for the 2021 class? And then it's also what's going on with Cedric Von Prahn. Continues to seem like me he's moving up that timeline. Other targets out there have still their finish lines way out there. Darnell Washington's way out there. I think a Ringo's way out there for the time being. But Von Prahn is now feeling like he wants to move things up, wants to get it done before his senior season when he just focuses on Warren Easton football. And you see Georgia's class at 16 public commitments. I'm going to say that again, 16 public commitments. They've maybe got nine more. Be very interesting to see the maybe class attrition, but also class upgrades that happen for those remaining nine spots. And here's very interesting, Brandon. When we're talking about that tight ends and we're talking about another wide receiver and we're talking about, does Georgia actually need two running backs? Now, I don't want to get you too far down the golf course here with your driver out in the woods, but you sit there and you go, okay, a second running back, would you rather have that? Or if there's a chance that Elias Ricks could flip, then you start thinking in another pattern.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I operate on recruiting pretty much the same way I think the NFL team should operate when it comes to the draft and anything like that. It's really a best player available scenario. Yeah, you know, Georgia's got needs, and you hope to see those needs get addressed, but ultimately it's best player available because that's how you build the best roster overall. So if a Ricks was really on the table, then I mean, I'd be very excited about that, and I would be very willing to have a conversation about
number
what they're
– number two cornerbacks in the country. You deal with that.
Yeah, exactly, just especially given the fact that the two teams you're competing with for national championships have made wide receivers such big parts of their profile. To have the best cornerbacks in the country to match up against them, it's almost a prerequisite. It's almost an imperative more so than just a luxury, so I'd be incredibly excited about that. However, defensive back is something that LSU has recruited really well, and I've heard some comments from Rick's family about – you know, how proud they are of the LSU DBU heritage. At least that's their opinion on that matter. So I think it's cool to be for Georgia to be in the mix for an official visit, but I guess it'd be a long way away from me thinking that's really a reality, although maybe you would say maybe it's more realistic than I'm giving it credit for right now.
No, here's what I would say. Georgia's in the mix for an official visit, and that's where that narrative needs to be right now. That official visit needs to go well with Milton around and the family around before we even start talking about that sort of thing. That was just an illustration I just wanted to share with all those folks out there to see, like, okay, Tank Bigsby, what happens there? Do we need to take two tight ends? Well, if Georgia has a chance to get Elias Ricks in any way, at the end of the day, then they're going to start saying, okay, do we really need two running backs? Do we really need four wide receivers? Do we really need two tight ends, depending on how everything else is shaking out? And also at the defensive back spot. Right now, I don't know if they take any more than three, and there's even a vector scenario where they just take two.
So here's, I think, an interesting piece of research. I haven't done this, but I think it'd be cool to do it. My hypothesis would be, to use a fancier word than I should be using, if you did a study of, okay, who signs the nation's top two cornerbacks? Go back the last 5 years, the last 10 years, internet era. Who signs the nation's top two cornerbacks? I think predominantly, maybe more so than any other position, you're going to see national championship contenders sign top two cornerbacks. That's a national championship position, whereas there are various position groups where kind of anybody can get in the mix on. But when it comes to elite cover guys that knock past balls out of the sky, go up and get bat down balls, that's pretty much national championship teams that have those kinds of game-changing cornerbacks. So you've got my attention, if nothing else.
So let me get your attention, DiCaprio and Django Unchained. And I think if you did that study, you'd probably want to look and see which school signs the two highest-rated corners or which school is consistently signing the top two or top three cornerbacks every year. And, you know, just ramble with me on this one. If anything happens with Ricks, you've got potentially the number one corner in Kelee Ringo. You've already got the number five corner in Jalen Kimber. I mean, you'd probably sit there and say Georgia with 1, 2, and 5 in one class. You'd be like, do we really need all those like 19 boxes of snow crab clusters for $6.99 at Kroger?
Well, I mean, I will tell you, this is something I have done the research on. If you want to go look and see what one of the more predictive stats for national championships are, it is passes broken up. That's a part of, Kirby talks about havoc all the time, and we think about havoc plays being tackles for loss and sacks more so than anything else, but passes broken up and eventually interceptions, that's also a part of that. And frankly, your interceptions are always going to be a percentage of your passes broken up anyway. Not fewest passing yards allowed, because that's dependent on who you play. But a team that wants to throw the ball, when you get a big long arm and a big hand on a football and knock it down, that's what national championship teams do. So that's one of the reasons why I haven't quarreled with you when you've wanted to rank Kelee Ringo as Georgia's most important recruiting target, because I know how important cornerbacks are in this day and age. And that if you want to say Georgia could be somewhat magically now in the mix for another elite cornerback getting a chance to host him for a visit, I'm not going to turn down that opportunity, even though I've highlighted these other positions as really fun to talk about, because I do believe the defensive back is one of, if not the most important position group in terms of how you beat a team like Clemson or Alabama.
So here's your dream scenario. What if you look eventually 2020 or 2021 and your corners are potentially Kelee Ringo on one side, Tyreek Stevenson on the other side, your nickel corner might be a guy like Justin Kimber, your back end safety would be a Lewis Seen, and all of a sudden there's a lot of guys in the mix there. Maybe even Tyson Campbell's playing safety back there by then, and all of a sudden you look there and you go five star, top five, top. There, all those guys are top five corners or defensive backs.
So let me go back to running back here for a moment on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger. We're live here today at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa as a part of our Dog Nation Days of Summer. Really appreciate all of you being with us, a part of that. Even if you couldn't be with us here in person, for those of you watching on video right now, we certainly appreciate that. Let me talk running backs here for a moment. You know how much I love the online chatter. The chatter in the recruiting world, I guess, right now is, I think Texas thinks it may get a running back today. The nation's number three back, Bijan Edwards, going to announce his commitment. There is some thought that the Longhorns may be in a pretty good shape for him. What does that do to Zachary Evans, for the good or for the bad, if Texas gets a big back today?
Well, that's, you know, Mr. Robinson, Bijan Robinson.
Excuse me.
Funny, this is kind of, that was Ohio State's guy. A lot of folks in the industry felt that he was committed and gave the word that he's coming about a month ago to Ohio State. Now you see Ohio State scrambling. I think Ohio State just offered the nation's number 18 running back, going down the list now, trying to fill their holes for two running backs in the 2020 class. And Bijan, I can remember hearing a story from a Southern Cal reporter that he was on a visit, and Clay Helton brought the entire team around him on that visit, and they had the two Heisman trophies on the ground, or three Heisman trophies on the ground, and they were all just trying to envelop him in warm hugs. And Southern Cal might not get him. Will Texas get him? He's out of Arizona. And this was a guy Ohio State wanted for the longest time, and Evans does want to run with the dude. That's what you're getting at there. And it's funny how I don't think Texas would probably, if you had to rate the most likely Texas homes for Zachary Evans, I think A&M would be a little bit higher than Texas. But
just because of Jimbo Fisher's prowess and maybe proximity to College Station to Houston, is that what that's about?
Yeah, there's some of that, but there's also a great recruiting class that Texas A&M is putting together right now. And he really wants to run behind big linemen. Everybody doesn't know what Zachary Evans is going to do. I don't think he knows exactly what he wants to do. The one thing I know he wants to do is he wants to run behind a big, powerful, massive offensive line. If you look at his film, you look at his running style, he likes to hide behind the blockers and then dart off of them when the defenders can't see him. And I think that's what Zachary Evans, at least now, knows what he's looking for. And that's why Alabama and Georgia have always been extremely high up on his pecking order.
Because the one thing that I said on the heels of Kendall Milton committing to Georgia, and this is counterintuitive compared to the way we maybe used to think about recruiting storylines, there would have been a time not all that long ago where Milton choosing Georgia would have meant, well, a guy like Zachary Evans is definitely not going to come to Georgia because Georgia just got Kendall Milton. But as Milton's family and Milton himself talked about in this super team era, where, as Kendall said, he wants to put an all-star team together, Georgia, in Kendall's mind, that means another running back. So I kind of believe, and I think you're going to back me up on this because a lot of where I'm getting this comes from things you've reported, I kind of believe that Georgia getting Milton actually makes it a little easier to get Evans.
It does, because he wants a distinctive, separate style. He wants a different style. And, you know, Milton is clearly that big hammer guy with speed. He's going to be tough to bring down, going to be tough. You know, the way football players are taught tackling these days is it's hawk tackling, and that's the Pete Carroll Australian rugby style of tackling, where you just get around a guy, hold him up, do one of those alligator death rolls, and just get the guy on the ground. Well, that's going to be really hard to do with 225 Milton. And then a great compliment to that is a guy like Evans, who is going to run and move around and change direction as fast as anyone on any football field ever, even those NFL guys. And I think that's a good compliment. I think Milton and Evans are a great compliment for one another. And that's why Georgia, I think, will always be in the long run for Evans. And it will be a long run likely for Evans.
Coming up in just a moment, I'm going to talk to Jeff Sintel about a Georgia commit that I don't think we've talked enough about. I want to correct that record here coming up, give this young man the limelight I believe that he's due. We'll do that as part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger, here today, live from Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. I also want to take a moment here to welcome in a brand new sponsor to us here on Dog Nation Daily. So happy to have the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council as a part of what we're doing here at Dog Nation Daily. I want to take a minute to tell you about some of the great things that they are doing. ANGTBC is dedicated to the work and economic stability of organized construction workers in North America, creating more work opportunities, living wages, and they protect the benefits for all construction workers. Now listen to this. These are some of the things that you can get as being a part of the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council. You can earn while you learn with no tuition on apprenticeship training. You can earn as much as $100,000 while serving in your apprenticeship, and you get employer paid pension and insurance. Also, wages up to 30% higher than non-union, and it's not just for men either. Women are encouraged to apply, and so much more. So let me give you a couple of ways to get in touch here. You can go to this website, georgiaconstructioncareers.com. I'll say it one more time for those who may be listening podcast or radio, georgiaconstructioncareers.com, or you can dial this number, 404-584-0005. Once again, that's 404-584-0005. It's great to have the Atlanta and North Georgia Building Trades Council as a part of the fun stuff we're doing here today on Dog Nation Daily as well. So, Jeff, I told you a moment ago, I feel like there's a Georgia commit that we haven't talked enough about, and it's really a timing thing, right? Chad Lindbergh makes a fun commitment over the weekend to UGA, but that news cycle gets swallowed up by what Kendall Milton did on Monday. It makes all the sense in the world. Lindbergh will be opening holes for Milton on the field one day, the same way he did in recruiting. But to go back here for a moment, the response to missing out on Andrew Rame and getting Lindbergh, that deserves its own attention, right? Because we're talking about, what, one of the top 150 players in the country, one of the top 20 players in the state of Texas, which is no small feat on its own, right? Take a moment here to rewind back prior to Kendall Milton's commitment and look at what Georgia got in Chad Lindbergh. Another really big win for Sam Pittman and another nice recruiting win head-to-head versus Tom Herman. All of a sudden, that's looking like a fun recruiting rivalry between Kirby and Herman.
Well, yeah, especially with Georgia keeps going out and extending the recruiting footprint, not just the footprint, but dominance or, you know, track record, putting skins on the wall, I guess, to say that in mildly. I think Lindbergh helps Georgia in a lot of ways. Number one, it's that 5.5 on his 6.0 scale grade point average. He wants to be an astronomical engineer. Sounds like he should be going at a, you know, like a Georgia Tech or whatever. It came down to
don't put any thoughts in his head.
No, he wants to play for championships, sir. You're not going to get that done on North Avenue anytime soon. But you got Stanford, you've got USC, and then you've got Texas. I mean, here's another thing. I don't know if it's gotten between your ears yet, but Evans knows Lindbergh. These guys have been together all the time.
Yeah, we've had some folks in our comment section who brought that up as well, which is not a bad thing, I'm thinking.
Been on recruiting visits. He knows that guy as a dude, a guy that he wanted to run behind that most people thought he would stay in state. But to me, it clearly seemed like to me that once Andrew Rame made his heartfelt, emotional, what I believe to be a reversal of his decision to go to Georgia and stick with Oklahoma, it seemed like Mr. Pittman just went down the line and he said, okay, sorry, Andrew, totally respect your decision. Now let me go talk to this Lindbergh fella here over in Texas. And Georgia's recruiting him hard. They kept those fires burning. Lindbergh saw Georgia as just the best possible fit, academics, playing on a team with ballers. And we're saying that real early in the morning here in Brasstown Valley, but playing on a team with ballers, trying to win natties like Kendall Milton always says. And he also definitely wanted to be trained by Sam Pittman because the track record is there of Lindbergh. This is what he told me. The track record is there of Lindbergh seeing Pittman take a guy that had a lot of potential and then chiseling them up into high draft prospects in the NFL.
It's a fun thing to think about. We'll have more from Jeff Sintel when it comes to our recruiting talk and everything else. I want to take a moment to pause here and remind you, this is Dog Nation Daily presented by Kroger Today. We're live here at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, coming up on what has been the end of a terrific edition of Dog Nation Days of Summer for us live here. The next time you get a chance to be at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa, I think it's something that you really need to take advantage of. We've obviously had a terrific time, and I'm going to pause here for our radio audience, let you know we got more Dog Nation Daily coming up on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. We'll see y'all back here in just another minute. And, of course, we are back here now doing Dog Nation Daily. Video and podcast audience never went anywhere, but good to have everybody else back here now. And we're talking about Chad Lindbergh a moment ago, and I do think this is a fun addition for Georgia. And, you know, I thought that John Stinchcomb, the great former Georgia offensive lineman, when he was on our program on Monday, he'd kind of echoed some of the things I think that you had written about, but the versatility, but the fact that, you know, this is a guy that could potentially play multiple positions for Georgia. And really, it seems like to me moving forward, you're going to have two categories for UGA. You're going to have guys who are obviously tackles, and you've got to have those. You've got to have true, honest-to-goodness tackles, the way that Andrew Thomas was from the word go. You've got to have the obvious tackles. I believe Tate Ratledge is one of those, and you could probably cite some other Broderick Jones, I believe, is one of those. And then in addition to that, you're going to have some versatile guys that might could play tackle, but also can play potentially a number of other positions as well. And Lindbergh would seem to fit into that versatility category.
He does, and he's a guy that, you know, you see tackle, a lot of tackle on his film. He looks like another clear right tackle. I think Broderick is the only kind of red and black unicorn of the class in terms of he's the one that's the clear left tackle, that ballet dancer, athlete, could be a power forward prospect or whatever for the left tackle spot. But you got a lot of guys that can plug and play. Even Mr. Von Prahn, who we just mentioned earlier, Sam Pittman has told him, according to Cedric, that he could play some tackle. You got the length and the ability to do that, much like Isaiah Wynn. And guard and center seem like the natural probably position fits for Cedric Von Prahn should he choose Georgia. But here's something, Brandon, that just marvels my mind. You're going to have Lindbergh in his – I think he's 25th out of a class of 600. That's with the academic brain power. And then you've got Joshua Braun, who has a 33 ACT and who wants to get a master's degree, and he's already got – incredible, wants to be a national merit scholar. I think that the SAT score for that guy is over, well over 1,500. Who's going to be the smartest dog on the offensive line between two guys like that? I mean, remember the days when people didn't even know which gap to get or which guy to pick up? And all of a sudden you got merit scholars and guys that are – I mean, Chad Lindbergh is going to enroll at the University of Georgia. With all of his AP credits, he's going to enroll as a sophomore.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there was probably a time in college football where offensive linemen stomped twice for yes. But, you know, now we've seen an evolution here where a lot of these guys are some of the better students on the team. And I'm not going to lie to you. All things being equal, I'd rather have a good player than a good student. But nonetheless, if you can be a good player who is a good student, I think that makes you an even better player, especially when it comes to the offensive line where it is a cerebral position. You've got a lot you've got to know. There's a lot of assignments to keep up with. It's one of the things I think we probably underrate about the sport of big-time college football, not just how much it demands of you physically, but how much it demands from you cognitively. And to think that Georgia is bringing in that category, it's the kind of thing, Jeff, that's only available for programs that recruit at the highest level, because the average program can't be choosy. The average program has to take what they can get. But when you're Georgia and you've got more yeses than you've got spots for the class, you get to pick the best overall fits, and a good player who's also pretty smart, that's probably going to be your best fit.
Well, so let me help you out, Brandon. This is what I do sometimes. You got your Titleist Pro V1 Tour Edition off on the second or third cut right there, and I'm going to just separate the weeds a little bit and tell you this. If there's one tiebreaker Georgia has right now between elite football players, is Kirby Smart wants to sign the smarter football player, the more intellectually, you know, gifted player. Because if all things are being equal and one kid's a better student, then Georgia's going to take that guy, because this staff gives away very few public tells about what he wants to do on the recruiting trail. But now you hear Kirby Smart, because he knows he's eventually going to have to go against the Michigans of the world and the Stanfords of the world and these really great academic institutions for a lot of the players he wants, the specific players he wants, like a guy like Donovan Jackson, that guy, that junior out in Houston, Texas. They got to get more, you know, merit scholars. They got to get more front and center cover boys for, you know, this guy is doing things academically. In the classroom that Georgia can represent.
Mamas like to hear that kind of stuff.
Mamas love to hear that type of stuff, especially when they see 33 ACTs on the offensive line. And, you know, with a guy like, you know, Lindbergh or the way Georgia recruits now, if you're very, very smart and the other guy they're looking at is a good student but a similar player, I think most of the time now Georgia's going to take the more intelligent, pretty good elite football player as well.
Yeah, because your capacity for learning,
they're just better football players. They don't have busts. They know what to do. You don't have to coach them the same things over and over.
Yeah, your capacity for learning is eventually one way or another going to enhance your chance of succeed, or it could, on the other hand, limit your ability to succeed because of everything we're asking these players to keep up with.
Yeah, and that's what they do. I mean, I think Andrew Thomas was a player like that. I think Cade Mays is a player like that. Jamari Salyer is a player like that. All of a sudden, Georgia is stacking up a lot of these guys that really know the game already really well, and they've been coached up really well, and they have impeccable grades in the classroom that could have went anywhere. And I think that bodes well, because here's what happens when the next – I've just got his name in my mind – the next Big John Stud offensive lineman comes walking through, and they can sit there and they can – you can host these kids. And all of a sudden, there's a guy that could have gotten into Stanford or could have went anywhere in the country, or a guy that's working on his master's degree is hosting Mama and all those guys. And you're like, hold on, you're 6'6", 345, 325, and you already got your degree and you're working on your master's?
It's pretty good
that's
stuff.
That's nicer than a big weight room in black jersey, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff. And it's nice to hear Jeff Sintel reference the $10,000 body slam challenge from Big John Studd. As a part of Dog Nation Daily here today as well, presented by Kroger. You mentioned Andrew Thomas a moment ago. Let me go back to the team for a moment, starting practice today. And here's one of the things I'm curious about. I think that, and there are probably a number of true leaders in this team, but if you ask me who are the three guys that really are the most out in front, my assumption is going to be that it's the trio that went with Georgia to SEC Media Days. Thomas, because of his stature as a player, Fromm, because he's the quarterback, J.R. Reed, because he just kind of has a little bit of an old soul level of wisdom to him. He just kind of has some of that kind of stuff. So for those three guys, you know, Reed's an all SEC level defensive back. You know, Fromm maybe the best quarterback in the country. Andrew Thomas, if all things broke his way, could be the number one overall pick. But from a leadership standpoint, how do they put their stamp on this team starting today? How do they How do they instill this do more mantra that was just, you know, rammed down all of our throats over the course of the summer? Well, now is the time to start officially doing more when the practices count more than the summer workouts did. How does that trio instill their vision of do more into the players that they're going
to
be around?
Well, I spoke to Andrew at Media Days, and I talked to him quite a bit because I've been talking to Andrew for about 5 years now, it feels like. But I think Georgia has I don't even call it a perfect storm. I would call it a nexus of great things around Andrew Thomas. Let's catalog him really fast. Okay, number one, I think he's the most important player on the team because he's the guy that keeps Jake Fromm's jersey clean from the backside. He's also probably the best player on the team when you look at the way the NFL regards him. I think he's a top 10 pick. I think he's maybe even a top three pick. Now he's also one of the best Bulldogs in the classroom, and he's also one of the highest character individuals on the team as well. So you got a guy that checks off all four of those. When he says anything, people are going to listen. It's kind of like BJ Sweeney in our shop. When he starts calling morning meetings, we all listen.
Sure.
And then you've got he's going to go about his walk a little bit differently this fall, and that's he's going to be that more vocal guy, and he's going to be a guy that corrects folks that aren't doing things the Georgia way.
Well, one of the things I asked Thomas about SEC Media Days as well is, I said, do you feel comfortable doing that across a position group? Do you feel comfortable yelling at a wide receiver? And he said, you better believe I do. I'm going to be watching every position group to make sure that they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, because to go back to our conversation about intelligence before, Thomas is just someone who has the capacity to understand more than just his own job. I think he has a pretty good understanding of the jobs being done by the other players as well. I'd say the same thing about J.R. Reed on defense, that these are guys, Reed's not just looking to, you know, coach up and push up LeCount and Otis Reese and Lewisine. I would imagine he feels empowered to go yell at anybody, even a defensive lineman who's 100 pounds heavier than he is. I don't think Reed would be afraid to get in his face.
I mean, yeah, Reed's just like that. His dad played 12 years in the NFL. He's the elder statesman. I still go back to J.R. Reed on the 2017 team. He was the second best player on that defense behind Roquan Smith there with what he did as a first-year starter. But Thomas is a walking recruiting poster for Georgia. Remember, he told us he's learning how to play the piano right now during his off time. Can you imagine the people, if he hosts somebody and the mamas and daddies see that and the player sees that, oh, yeah, you're Andrew. You're a top five pick, right? Oh, you're an All-American. Oh, and you're learning how to play the piano. These are like Renaissance men that Georgia are trying to get on the offensive line for Pittman right now.
Yeah, it's fun to think about. That's our Kroger kickoff. You know, we always like to kick off the weekend thinking about our friends at Kroger who always have great things in store for you. Big time savings to make your pool party or your cookout, things like that, Gray. But when you also want to, kick off the weekend thinking ahead to Georgia football, we do that with the Kroger kickoff right here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger as well. Two big dates for you to keep in mind. Actually, we'll do three here. Practice starts today. It's fan day tomorrow. I know there's been some debate about the current format of the new fan day, but one way or another, it is tomorrow. And then it's season opener August 31st. So we're going to roll fast through the month of August here, and that's your Kroger kickoff presented by our friends at Kroger. By the way, I want you to sign up for the Fuel VIP program at Kroger. It's $40 annual to be a part of this, and it's a great deal because you get 2 fuel points for every dollar spent. We're coming up on that time of the year, whether you're driving to high school games or going to tailgate on Saturdays in Athens, whatever else. This is the time of year when you start putting a lot of miles in the car, and the gas tanks go down very, very fast. Well, the Kroger Fuel VIP program is a great way to save some money on that. 2 points for every dollar spent when you enroll annually. It's $40 a year. You can check that out on the Kroger app or at Kroger.com for more on that. All right, Jeff, we're going to get ready to wrap up our radio show and whatnot. How about a quick final thought from you?
Well, it might not be final, but I just want to – maybe not be quick, but let me tell you this.
Well, it's got to be quick because we're getting ready to wrap up.
Yeah, I know. I'll give you your Brandon Adams style quick. The one thing you guys – and we talked about Scott Warner, and everybody missed that. One jewel that – 2 jewels that Warner has is he brought the ball. I think you guys saw that on our broadcast last night. But Scott Warner still has the ball that sealed the national championship win. It has Pete Rozelle's name on one side. They used an NFL ball back then.
Did they really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, and you look.
I saw the ball, but I didn't see Rozelle's name.
And the other side, you see it's faded a little bit, but the Notre Dame script. That was the Notre Dame quarterback's ball, and he picked that thing, and the team managers tried to take it away, and he's like, "Nah, it's not happening." That was a pearl that Scott Warner had. But the other one, everyone, y'all talked about Herschel Walker, guys, and remember that comment about, you know, Vince Dooley said Herschel was just a big stiff back in preseason camp. They didn't know what they had. And Warner even said that. Somebody asked him a great question. You know, what was it like? Did you know right away? And Warner said, no, we didn't. We just thought he was another guy. And what was amazing is I asked him a little, I don't know if we were on the air or not. Maybe it was in our kind of down low Q&A, but I said, Scott, does that mean he just wasn't a great football player? I mean, a great practice player. Cam Newton is one of the best examples in college football history, or even pro football history. He's not a great practice player. But when the lights come on, he looks like a seven-star player out there. And Scott said something I don't know if I've ever heard before. Scott Warner said, I just think Herschel didn't want to kill us. He said, I don't think Herschel let it all out because he didn't want to bust up his teammates. And he saved that primetime Herschel, that stiff arm, that shoulder, that here's what I got, here's my top gear. He said he didn't want to show that until he had to hurt somebody else on the other team.
Yeah, it's great stories last night from Scott Warner. You can go back and check out some of that on the Dog Nation video channels from our Dog Nation Days of Summer event. Also, as we wrap up here, I just want to give a huge thanks to our friends at Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa for bringing all of this to us. You guys got to check this out if you get a chance. I mean, whether it be a summer getaway or a fall getaway when the leaves start turning. I was here last year and they're putting the Christmas decorations up, big fire in the fireplace. Wow. This truly is kind of an all-seasons resort, and the amenities here and the surrounding area in Towns County, whether it be Lake Chateau, that's one of, I think, Georgia's best-kept secrets. This is one of those things you've got to check out. Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa. You can go to dognation.com. You can still find the tab to get over here to Brasstown. And if you saw us having fun this week and said, boy, I wish I was doing that, well, I would encourage you to get involved and get here for your own late summer getaway, or as you head towards one of the bye weeks coming up this season or kind of anything like that, you're going to really want to make sure you do that. I can't say enough about how much fun Brasstown Valley Resort and Spa has been. Let me also say we're Gator Hater Updater. I think we're at 1,007. I don't have the number in front of me. I apologize. I'm sure I'll get a correction on this if I'm wrong. I believe we're 1,007 days in the Gator Hater Updater. That's always good news, how long it's been since Florida has beaten Georgia. We're going to hang out here for our RS Andrews cool down, take a few of your comments. But for our radio and podcast audience, we'll say goodbye to you. And thanks for being a part of Dog Nation Daily, presented by Kroger here today.